So, January, we have a couple of things. You can be seated. We have been in 30 days of prayer and fasting from January the 2nd until tomorrow. It's just that 30 days that we always enter into the new year with. And for deep calls unto deep, we have talked about prayer through the month of January, and then tonight we're just gonna teach or preach on something, but I really felt strongly about talking about fasting today, and so we decided that we'll leave the service as a regular scheduled Wednesday night. In other words, just like we've been doing and letting the classes dismiss and all of that, but still teach and talk about fasting because we are in that, but we don't want our fasting to end tomorrow. Amen. But so we wanted to go ahead and let you have a handout tonight, and then we'll go into the Word. Now, if you have your real Bible, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. And then we'll go from there to Matthew. But if you don't have a Bible, you can use your digital Bible on your phone or tablet. If you don't have that, borrow a Bible. Amen. But we ought to always have our real Bibles with us in church. Amen. Isaiah chapter 58. Then we'll look at another scripture in Isaiah, and then we'll go to to Matthew. I'm sorry, we'll go to Luke, then Matthew. Isaiah 58, beginning at verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. And then verse 3, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? So it changes a little bit here in verse 3. And they're saying, what's the point of fasting if we're not getting your attention? And then he says, in fact, the day of your fast, you find pleasure and you exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. And then he says, you will not fast as you do this day. In other words, you're not going to fast for like this any longer because I'm about to tell you something, okay? He says, you're not going to fast like this anymore to make your voice heard on high. In other words, you're not going to fast just so I will hear you or just to make your voice heard in heaven, just to get my attention. Is that a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? In other words, is this what I have chosen, that you make a public spectacle of your fasting? You know, that you make a show of it. Would you call this a fast? Verse 5, an acceptable day to the Lord. Then verse 6, is this not the fast that I have chosen? So now God is explaining. He's trying to tell the people, this is what I'm looking for. Okay? Not what you're doing, not the fasting that you've been doing and trying to get my attention because you're fasting. You say, we fasted, but you're not hearing. We've afflicted our souls and you're not even taking notice. And so God is explaining in His mercy and goodness and grace. He's explaining to the people, this is the fast that I have chosen. All right, in other words, He goes into, in verse 6, now He's going into, this is what fasting is for, okay? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. All right? So he's asking this question, is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? That's, he says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? All right, now, Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. This is, of course, messianic prophecy, another of many in the book of Isaiah. He is the messianic prophet. Isaiah 61 and 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. All right. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal or bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. All right, first of all, to whom does this prophecy pertain to? Jesus, right? And those last three lines, well, basically four, but it's in essence saying the same thing that Isaiah 58:6 says, all right? So we're seeing that he's coming to the poor, he's coming to bind up brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of prison to those who are bound, loosing those who are bound. Now, Luke 4:18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So, Jesus is reading or quoting Isaiah 61, and he's applying this to himself. Of course, it does apply to him. And what we're seeing here from 58 and 6, then to 68 and 1, and then when Jesus repeats that in Luke 4:18, it's a slight progression, but it still is basically the same thing that God said, this is the fast that I have chosen, or this is what fasting is for, right? All right, when did Jesus read this? When did he say this and quote this? To answer that question, what happens at the beginning of Luke 4? Anybody know? The beginning of Luke 4, Jesus is led into the Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit, he's led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness for what? To fast, right? All right, so here is Jesus. He is entering into his earthly ministry. He's led into the wilderness to fast, okay? He comes out of this extended fast in the wilderness. He goes into the synagogue at Nazareth. He picks up the scripture, the scroll, goes to Isaiah 61 and 1, quotes it, reads it, and then says this is fulfilled this day, right? Isaiah 61 and 1, this is fulfilled this day. So in other words, this, I have come to do this, all right? I have come to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke, right? So now let me just side note here for a second. If you're looking at your Bible in Luke 4, verses 14 and 15 says that he goes into all Capernaum, et cetera, right? Okay, you have to understand here in Luke's style of writing, Luke is just basically skipping ahead just quickly and then goes right back in verse 16, goes right back into him coming out of the wilderness. Okay, so 14 and 15 is actually picked up in verse 31. So, he says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, okay? So let's stop right there, because the rest of that in verse 15 is just a, he's speaking of a of what happens later, all right? And you can see that if you go to Matthew and Mark. So from 14, verse 14 in Luke 4, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. That's coming out of the wilderness from this fast. Verse 16 picks up coming out of the wilderness. So the first place he goes, in other words, the first place he goes is Nazareth. All right? And he goes to the temple. And that's where he reads Isaiah 61 and 1. Okay, so he's coming off of this fast. All right? This extended fast. And he's quoting or reading Isaiah 61 about why he's here. Okay, so God says to the people in 58 and 6, to loose the bonds of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, and break every yoke. Jesus is fulfilling 61 and 1, where when he says of himself, I'm here to heal the brokenhearted, preach the gospel to the poor, that's not financially poor. I'm here to heal the brokenhearted, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, setting at liberty those who are oppressed. Now, obviously, the recovering of sight to the blind is both literally and spiritually. Okay, the rest of it is all spiritually. So he is fulfilling chapter 61 and 1 of Isaiah, but he's also fulfilling and proclaiming that this is why I'm doing this. I can do this because of that fast. Okay, God's chosen fast of 58 and 6 is fulfilled and repeated in 61 and 1, fulfilled in Jesus in Luke 4, 8, 18, okay? And so he's saying, this is why I'm here. I am doing this. I am doing, this is what I'm doing, and because I've just came out of this fast, I have the power of the Spirit to do this, to fulfill this, okay? And so fasting is for this to happen in us and through us. Whether you take 58 and 6 or whether you take 61 and 1 or whether you take Luke 4, 18, it's all the same thing. And it happens through fasting. And it is to happen in us and through us. Through our walk with God, through fasting, prayer, the Word, worship, through getting to a place in God, you and I can, first of all, in us, loose the bonds of wickedness. In us, undo heavy burdens. In us, get rid of oppression, break oppression. And in us, break every yoke. And then through us, through fasting, prayer, and worship, getting to that place in God, God can use us to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo burdens for others, to let the oppressed go free, to help the oppressed be set free, to break every yoke. So through fasting, God wants to do it in us and through us. Amen? Is everybody with me? So fasting is for spiritual breakthrough in you and through you. Amen. In our culture, now I got to hurry. In our culture, with the numerous opportunities on every corner, there's fast food and countless opportunities to eat whatever you want to eat. Sometimes it's difficult to even consider fasting, right? But fasting is, or should be, like prayer, a normal spiritual discipline. Now, though we can't fast as much as we should pray, obviously, because prayer is daily and it's without ceasing, says the Bible, and it's always, says Paul. But fasting should be considered a normal part of our Christian walk. And prayer and fasting go hand in hand. Amen? Fasting, first of all, increases our self-awareness and self-perception. Amen. Right? Amen. If you're filling in the blanks, that's the answer. Fasting increases our self-awareness and self-perception. In other words, fasting should, before anything else, bring us to a keen awareness of sins and shortcomings and areas of our lives where God is trying to deal with us. That's the first thing in fasting. That's what fasting is going to do, or should do. Bring us to a place of self-awareness and self-perception, a keen awareness of shortcomings and sins that we otherwise may not see. A serious approach to fasting brings us to repentance. Amen? Amen? And so it opens up, fasting opens us up to God so He can speak, right? And He can deal with us, all right? And He can stir us in it. Fasting clears our minds. It helps us to focus. It helps us to take our focus off of everything else and the distractions. It helps us to focus. It clears our minds. And that is why fasting is not only concerning food. We don't only fast food. Fasting food is primary, and it is most important. But also, and especially nowadays, media. Amen? In addition to food, media should be equally fasted, or more so. Now, media should oftentimes be fasted along with fasting food. But also, we ought to fast media sometimes while we're not fasting food. Right? Now, we shouldn't replace fasting food with completely fasting media, but they should go hand in hand. Sometimes you're fasting just food, you know, you're not eating anything. But sometimes you're cutting out food and media. Amen. Sometimes you're just cutting out media, but you should never just fast media in replace of fasting food. All right. And so. Now, when I say media, what am I talking about? I'm talking about all kinds of media, all right? When you're fasting media or fasting food and media, TV, movies, whatever, social media, right? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, or whatever the latest fad is, all of that. Even news can be and should be fasted, no matter how you get it, right? Whether it's radio, phone, TV, or whatever. And please don't get your news from Facebook. Okay? And certainly music. Right? Now, music that glorifies God can be fine and good when you're fasting. Right? And if you're fasting food and media, that'll certainly help. Prayer or whatever, worshiping or just going on the road or whatever. Music that glorifies God, that's fine. But we ought to fast every other kind, and certainly if it does not glorify God, we ought to be on a permanent fast from that. Amen. Because Philippians 4:8 is a rule to live by, and it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things, this covers a lot of things, okay? News included. Music, though, news and movies, this covers all kinds of stuff right here. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen? Think on these things. This is a scripture that we ought to live by, not just when we're fasting, but this is what we ought to live by. Because when you're fasting, as a matter of fact, for any time, you know, you're trying to get close to God, trying to grow in the Lord. It's probably not a good idea to saturate our minds with things that glorifies fornication and adultery and affairs and all this kind of stuff, right? Right. So, when you fast, Jesus says in Matthew 6, now Matthew 6 is interesting because a few weeks ago when talking about prayer, we talked about, he said, when you pray, right? And we talked about the example of prayer and things like that, the doctrine of prayer. But Matthew 6 is interesting because Jesus talks about giving, praying, fasting, and then giving again. I'm telling you the truth. Read it. He starts off talking about when you give and giving alms and things like that. Then he goes into pray, when you pray. Then he goes into fasting, when you fast. Then he goes back into giving. But he says in verse 16 in chapter 6 of Matthew, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Okay? But here he goes again. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. In other words, don't let it appear to everyone that you're fasting. Okay? Don't be in sackcloth and ashes and all those kinds of things. And don't have your countenance cast down. And don't make it a public spectacle when you're fasting. And don't go telling everybody. Don't post it on Facebook that I'm on a Daniel's fast or a 30-day fast or whatever. And I don't know if anybody does it because I don't get on there so very often. So I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm just saying don't tell everybody when you're fasting, okay? You don't want to talk to me. If you want to talk to me about it for some reason, that's fine. Or someone that you pray with, things like that, that's okay. I'm just talking about don't broadcast it and don't make a public spectacle. Don't walk around going, oh, you know, so I'm so hungry. You know. So what was happening here is their outward appearance showed that they're fasting, okay? And Jesus said, don't do that. Wash your face, okay? Anoint your head with oil, all right? Wash your face. Make sure you've got on clean clothes, ironed and pressed, and don't appear to people that you're fasting, all right? Because if you're appearing to people that you're fasting, it's just like those who pray for people's notice. That's their reward. Same thing with fasting. You want, if that's what you want, people to know you're fasting, that's it. That's going to be your reward. That's what you're getting. But if you do it in secret, I will reward you. And you prefer His reward, I promise you. And so, just as with praying, He says when you fast. Okay? Not if, but when. Not if, but when. So, He's assuming that you're going to fast. Right? And if He's assuming it, it must be important. If He fasted, and He did, then it must be important. So if for no other reason, I should fast out of obedience to be in line with what Jesus assumes I'm going to do. Amen. So why do we fast? If, as we said, Jesus assumes I'm going to fast, then why do we fast? What does it do? Well, as I mentioned, fasting, first of all, makes me keenly aware of sins and shortcomings. It brings me to a place of recognition and then to a place of repentance. Right? Brings me to a place of recognition and then to a place of repentance. Now, there are times in the Bible where fasting is part of repentance with God's people, Israel. That fasting was part of their repentance. It was part of that turning back to God. Not only did they repent, but fasting was part of that. And so, fasting causes me to recognize shortcomings, sins, failures, all of that, and it helps me get into a place of repentance. So what is fasting? Fasting basically is a denial of flesh, right? It's a denial of the flesh, denying the flesh. Not denial of the flesh, but denying the flesh. And your flesh is your worst enemy. right? Your flesh is your worst enemy. No one else is trying to derail your walk with God, your spiritual life, like you are. Right? Certainly, Satan wants to destroy anyone who is gaining ground in our pursuit of the kingdom of God, but no one, not even he, can do the damage that you can do. In fact, Satan oftentimes will sit back and watch you destroy your walk with God. So fasting is the denial of, or the denying the flesh of its desires and its desires so that we can avoid spiritual shipwreck. So fasting is denying the flesh of its desires so that we can avoid spiritual shipwreck. To be sure, fasting is not enough. Fasting alone, rather, is not enough, right? You can't have fasting without prayer and without the Word and everything else that we know that is essential to living in the kingdom of God, right? Believe it or not, there are some people who, because fasting is not that big of a deal to them, they can fast, but they won't pray instead of the Word. They think that fasting is getting them by, right? But you can't have fasting without prayer and without the Word and without worship and without the fellowship of the church and all the other things that we know are essential. Okay, but fasting can't be denied either. It can't be avoided. It can't be shunned. Oftentimes we justify our lack of fasting by convincing ourselves that we're doing so well with prayer and Bible study and that we really don't need to fast, right? And you know, we'll even say, well, as like I said the other day, well, I'm not really interested in, I don't really need an anointing because I don't really do anything that needs an anointing. I don't really want any more power. I'm fine like I am. And I'm doing really good with, you know, with just getting by with prayer and occasionally reading the Bible. So I don't really need to fast. We wouldn't actually say that, but we might actually try to justify a lack of fasting because we think we're doing so good with prayer and study, Bible study. That's going to get us by. But that is a colossal mistake. In fact, it's outright self-deception to think that we can actually get anywhere in God without fasting. Amen. So not only does fasting bring me to a place of self-awareness and repentance, but also brings me to a place of God awareness. Right? Fasting, along with prayer, repentance, worship, helps you get to a place of awareness where you're spiritual senses are sharpened. Right? It takes you to that place where my spiritual sensitivity is heightened. At the same time, fasting fosters humility. Fasting helps you empty yourself of selfish desires and pride, and creates a desire for more of God. Right? Fasting will help you empty yourself of yourself and selfish desires and pride, and will create in you a desire for more of God. And isn't that what we all need? Amen. Because when we're so full of the world, right? And our flesh is so satisfied with everything, whether it's food or whatever else, everything else that the world has to offer. When we're so satisfied all the time that we don't really hunger for God, that's a dangerous place to be, right? So fasting helps us get past that, all right? It's helping us to empty ourselves of ourselves, helps us to empty ourselves of selfish desires, pride, being full of all the other stuff that we consume, and helps us to have a hunger for God. And that is what I want, and that's what we need, and I want that for all of us, that we just hunger for God. That's why I've told you through the years, I've told you that I pray for a hunger for God that cannot be satisfied, right? I pray it for you. I pray it for me. I've prayed it for 30 years now. God, give me a hunger for you that cannot be satisfied. And fasting will help us get there. And through fasting, along again with prayer, worship, and the Word, you break spiritual strongholds in your life. Amen. Through fasting and prayer and worship and the Word, you can break spiritual strongholds in your life. Powerful anointing to be used of God comes through fasting. Amen. Along with prayer. Amen. Fasting helps us find the will of God for our lives. Fasting helps us find direction. Fasting is not easy. Right? It's not easy. But those who were mightily used of God in the Bible all fasted. Every one of them. Amen. Moses fasted. Joshua. The judge. Many of the judges. The prophets. Isaiah. Daniel. David fasted. John the Baptist fasted. Jesus, of course, fasted. The apostles fasted. The early church fasted. Amen. So why shouldn't you and I fast? Amen. Amen. They fasted for answers from God. They fasted for deliverance. They fasted for understanding and wisdom. They fasted for miracles. They fasted for revival.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And that's why God said, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke." And that's essentially what we call revival.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In us and in others. Individually and collectively. And that's why we need to fast individually and collectively. Amen. Amen. That we can see that. That we can see the bonds of wickedness broken and loosed.
Amen.
That we can see heavy burdens broken and loosed. That we can see the oppressed go free, set free. That we can see deliverance. That we can see every yoke broken. Amen? That's why we fast. It's for us. It's for the church. And it's for the community. It's for people, right? Don't we want to see people saved? Don't we want to see people set free? Amen? That's why we fast. Amen. I fast because personally, I want to get to a deeper dimension with God, right?
Amen.
I want to grow in Him. I want more of Him. I want more of His anointing. I want things personally in God, and I want things to happen in you, in the church, and I want to see people saved. I want to see our community impacted. I want to see this city saved. Amen. Whosoever will. Amen. And so, in closing, I want to challenge us, now that we are coming out of our beginning of the year prayer and fasting time, I want us to prayerfully ask God to help us to hear and obey His voice concerning our personal times of fasting.
Amen.
Amen. I want us to hear what the Lord says to us. Let God impress upon us on when to fast, what to fast, how to fast, right?
Amen. Amen.
And then I want us just to commit to that. Amen.
Amen.
And so, not just food, but other things as well, media as well, other things, okay? Fasting is abstaining, right?
Amen.
So I want us to prayerfully ask God to just to speak to us. And rather than closing the books on fasting tomorrow, until next year, Let's get in, let's personally, individually and collectively, let's get into a place of fasting like we haven't done ever before, okay? And we're not, and there will be occasionally, there will be times when we, you know, say as a church, hey, you know, this week, let's fast together, or this month, whatever, okay? But if you would, let's just seek God on what He would have you do. If you fast, if you have a certain day of the week that you fast and you do it every week, that's great. But ask God, is there something else? Amen. If there's more, okay? Whatever you already do, let's ask God to help us. If you even if in the month of January you really didn't fast like you wanted to or thought you should, and all of us have done that, right? But let's just ask God, take us to a new dimension. Take us to a new place in fasting and through fasting. Let's see this His chosen fast happen in us, right? And in us individually and in the church, and therefore affecting our community. Amen. If you have, I've said this before, but if you've never fasted 3 days, don't jump into 7 days. Okay? If you're new to fasting, fast a meal a day for, say, 3 days or something like that. There's so many different ways you can do it. Just, you've got to hear the voice of God. Hear what God is impressing upon you to do. Okay? And you can fast just a set fast, and then you can do, say, okay, now I'm going to do, say, I'm going to do 24 hours, which it's not that hard to fast 24 hours, okay? Or you can say, you know what, I'm going to do 3 days. Or there was a time back years ago, my wife and I think had just got married. I'm only saying this to try to encourage, to try to help. But there was a period of time where I fasted every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And just for, I don't know, it was a few months or something like that. But I saw things happen in my life. Amen. I saw things happen in my life. Just whatever you feel like God is telling you to do. A few years ago, over in DeBary, I went on a 30-day progressive fast. Okay, a lot of that's 7 days cutting out certain things. Next 7 days, adding things to that list. Third week, adding more things at least. Fourth week, nothing. Others here do the Daniel fast, okay? Maybe some are even now. So many different ways you can do it. So many different things you can do. But just let's pray that God would speak to our hearts and lead us into that new and greater dimension. Amen? Amen. Let's see what God will do in us, through us. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. Why don't we just take a few moments and let's just talk to God for a little bit here this evening. Let's ask God to help us and ask God to speak to us. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just do that. Let's find a place to pray for a few moments. Let's just talk to God here and ask God to speak to us.